I want to say, I want to send a very fraternal embrace to the people listening to this webcast, broadcast, whether it's San Francisco, New York, Houston, Los Angeles, wherever they are, and to my fellow and dear brothers and sisters of the indigenous peoples. I'd like to, before I say anything else to the indigenous people, I want to say, whatever I'm going to say to you, take it as a family affair that's being discussed here. It's kind of like when mama has a gambling problem, you know? When daddy has a drinking problem, you know? In the family. But we are very straight out with mom and daddy, you know? That's the way I want to address what I'm going to say to you and to the people listening. So there is no misunderstanding, so it's anti-Semitism, reverse racism of any of that, because it really, from my heart, it's not meant to you out there and to you guys that way. I was prone to come to tears when I saw the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in Utah. The right-wing Mormons had five indigenous leaders in all their dress, their music, their drum settings, very spiritual message to the planet, and shame on Pacifica. The right-wing Mormons have to show us the way. We don't. The only Native American program we had, we threw it out because it was not lucrative enough or not politically correct. I don't know why, but it should be back on. Number two, the drive time hours from 6 in the morning to 10 in the morning, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., it shouldn't be exclusive to white people. Okay? And let me give you a little brief history here. The United States of America, formerly a British colony, it created war. This is Pacifica Network, right? Because it was a feeling of homeboy Mr. Lewis to go against war, and whatever is behind war. War is a means, not an end. It's a means to acquire wealth that doesn't belong to you. So that's how they declare war on the Indians, war on the Mexicans and the Cubans and the Hawaiians and the Filipinos, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, and continues to happen to this day. Okay? This is what Pacifica is supposed to be fighting. Okay? So here we are. And all the military interventions that the United States and the British first engaged in, they had to have troops. So imagine the mind, the mentality of the soldiers to go fight these wars for the ruling class of those days and their families and children of the soldiers. What kind of mentality happened, what kind of training and education happened at home when the soldiers came back mutilated and full of the garbage of war, and to teach that level of education, whatever they were indoctrinated with, to their children? Well, repeat that so many hundreds of times that the United States has been engaged in military interventions. So you have all these waves and waves of citizens who are trained to think that people of color around the world, which is the majority on this planet, last time I checked it was, okay, to go and get their resources and steal it and loot it and take them away from them. So you got to use war as a means to get that wealth, those natural resources, to the United States. And then you have to have soldiers to go and get it and kill to get it. Okay, so then you have the soldiers coming back, waves and waves through the ages, waves and waves of soldiers coming back, and they, whatever new ideas they got, whatever new experiences they got, whether it was raping children or women or whoever, to teach it to their children. Okay, that was one aspect. Then the United States population that didn't go to fight those wars, they had to support that war, because remember, the military budget takes a lot of our money that we could be used for schools and for other good things. It goes to war to the military budget. So the people have to support that effort. So the people have to understand that those people of color, those savages, those uncivilized, non-Christians, infidels, had to be punished and domesticated and taught the Christian faith, or whatever the name of the game is at the time the intervention takes place. So that's how racism permeates through the ages into today. And Pacifica is not the exception. That's the reason why you have so many white programmers in the drive time hours, and whatever little talking people of color you have there, it's on the 3 in the morning or at 10 p.m. when nobody's listening. Okay? If it's not good, then I'll say, let's switch. Let's bring the people of color to drive time hours, and the people who do program on their drive time hours, put them on 3 in the morning or 10 p.m. and see what it feels like. And when the fun drive time comes, then you will see that the people in color will get a lot of money on the fund drive, and the other white people doing the 10 o'clock show will not make any money. Guess what's going to happen? They're not going to show good results. They're not going to be a lucrative program. And perhaps they're going to be good candidates to throw them out because they're not making money for Pacifica. You see, that's part of the logic here. Okay? The other part of the logic, and remember my earlier remarks, please don't take it wrong because it's a family affair. Mama has a gambling problem. Okay, so here we are. In the same way the United States uses the State of Israel to take control of the oil, to kind of supervise it as a security guard for the oil, that's the same way, that's the reason why it has become the number one recipient, the welfare recipient for our budget. Okay, we got to give all these billions of dollars to these guys to oversee our oil. Okay? That's what Jimmy Carter said when the Russians were moving into Afghanistan. We'll defend our oil by any means necessary, including the use of force. So I didn't make that up. Okay, so here we are. In the last few years, KPFK in Los Angeles has 8 hours of drive time, 6 hours by Israeli U.S. citizens. And that's not anti-Semitism, that's speaking the truth. This is a family affair, remember? So how are we going to do it? How are we going to deal with this? But now, this is the first time since 1979 that I've been part of Pacifica that this is the best national board that I've seen. It's full of potential. It's full of greatness. Kudos for you guys. You're doing great, but you're not doing enough. You have all the banners fired out. You have the Asian community. I'm gonna make a request for the people who were anti-war vets against the Vietnam War. These Vietnamese people are still suffering the pollution and the weapons and the Asian Orange and all the stuff the United States dropped in there. How come these people are not talking about Vietnam anymore? If you want to leave all the Asian communities out, at least remember your Vietnam when you were a college university student. Radical. You see, that's my message to them. Okay? But we got to do better, and you guys are full of potential. I'm really looking forward to work with you guys. Remember, this is a family affair. We got to do it better. Thank you.
Former KPFK programmer, okay. Fernando Velasquez.
John. Yes.
Real quick. Okay. My name is John Martinez. I'm a purge Chicano programmer from KPFK. Also, I worked with the failed L.A. Coalition for Free Speech Radio as we were trying to, in 99, try to take back Pacifica. And also, I worked with the L.A. staff for the Pacifica campaign. Just really quick, some issues. The Pacifica National Board, we're in the context of the settlement. As I understand the settlement, it's actually you and the lab feeding the ideas in terms of anything from bylaws to actually the lab elections to the mission commission, all this. What I ask you to do, and Leslie and also Steve, we talked earlier this week, a principled process in terms of what's going on, a principled process for how to make decisions in terms of all this stuff, from purge programmers, you heard from Didon, Fernando, and other people. My criticism of what happened in the mid-90s was that there was a lot of backdoor deals and behind-the-scenes deals. We need principled process for how to make and go forward. I think the Pacifica National Board, with all the stuff that you've done good and the money that's been raised and everything, you guys screwed up by bringing back the band at WBAI without looking nationally at all of the people who were banned at KPFK, KPFT, KPFA. You have to work in a national context and a national level, so you need to do that. And again, it has to be based on principle and also an open process. And the open process has to identify the issue then come up with the process inclusive in terms of bringing in people for that process. And also what you have to do is make sure and be clear about it from the beginning, who is going to have the power and make the decisions at the end about this. It's not good enough to say we're willing and we're open to hear all your comments and give us all your stuff without you honestly telling us up front in terms of who's going to make the decisions. Again, I'm going to make this quick. Regarding KPFK, that's what done. I'm going to meet with Steven. Chicana Radio was on every Saturday at 5. I'm not asking to get back on as John Martinez, but I'm asking to struggle to open that space Saturday at 5 for a bilingual Spanish language spot for the community to come in, for the community to come in and address the issues, especially in Spanish. KPFK, the Spanish-speaking people in L.A. don't know about KPFK or Pacifica. They don't know anything about the crisis and what's gone on, and they need to hear it. So I'll be meeting with Stephen on Monday, and we'll be, you know, talking about that too. Regarding diversity, it's a general, simple principle that I'm offering, and it would take a lot of work. But specifically with KPFK and the signal area of KPFK, with diversity, you have to look at a direct relationship between street demographics and the institution itself, whether it be at the Pacifica National Board, whether it be at the local advisory board, the management at KPFK, the staff, the unpaid staff, the volunteers, the programmers, everybody. You have to look at the diversity of KPFK. Anything that's called community access radio now, you have to look at the demographics. And things have radically changed, and we have to radically change. Regarding the, there's something else that was put out called, by Carol Spooner called, well, she mentioned it and the need for it, and I'm sure it's been brought up before, conflict resolution. This is where all it ends. At KPFK, there's a lot of challenges at KPFK. You have a post-yuppie, sold-out mentality of staff that's there. And this is not name-calling or getting personal. You have to call it for what it is. You have to look at the principles, the mission statement of KPFK. You have an anti-labor staff there. And if we have a principled process in terms of what we're about and where we're going, we'll see that it's going to be very clear that a lot of the programmers, a lot of the volunteers, a lot of the staff have to go. And that's not based on any kind of purge, counter-purge, kind of vengeance. It's just looking at the principles of Pacifica and the process for it. Another thing I wanted to say briefly to end this is that, you know, there's people on the air that are ignorant at KPFK that are talking about their perspective of the crisis when they never really gave a damn about it and are very ignorant of it. So that's something that we have to look at, too, that are still backing up people like Mark Shove and Mark Cooper. So we have to look at that. We have a KPFK news department that's proud of getting an award from AP Wire Service. These are things that we have to look at. And, on again, on principle and process, we can take care of this stuff in the long run. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
John Martinez, a former KPFK programmer. I want to correct one thing I said earlier here on our live Pacifica broadcast from Los Angeles. The woman who spoke immediately after David Adelson, the local advisory board chair, about the process of selecting a new manager here, her name is Lydia Brazon. She's director of the Humanitarian Law Project here in Los Angeles. One of the issues here, of course, is how will new staff, whether they're managers or national staff, be chosen so as to not replicate the problems of the past. We go back now to our public comment period.
Returning the band and fire back into the community. Roz and Howard Larman were fired by Mark Shove after more than 30 years of being on the air. And what I want to know is why, when Mary Catherine Alden is asking to leave and the Larmans are asking to return, Folksine is not back on. It seems like a slam dunk to bring Folksine back into its Sunday night slot. And I'd like to know the reason it hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Thank you. Peggy? Thank you. I didn't expect to speak. Sheila Goldner was very kind enough to put my name on the list. I had the California Artists Radio Theater from 10 to 11:30 on Sundays for 3 years, and I represent probably the choice people from network radio of the golden days of radio. And we presented good literature. We're fair-minded. We use minorities. We're trying to represent the community. And I feel that we really have within our group the foremost artists in the field of audio theater. And so I was grateful for the 3 years, but we were dismissed without an explanation. And our shows are still playing on NPR, but we're not playing on KPFK.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now, we have a long list of people. We're going to try and get as many folks in as we can. I know Stephen just wanted a half a minute.
I just want to say it has been a privilege to hear the voices that have just come up and spoken to the issues specifically of the Band and the Fired. Excuse me, I'm sorry. In any event, I'd just like to say, on a global basis, I'd like to offer an apology to these programmers who have been, what I feel, betrayed by the concurrent mission of Pacifica at the time at which these grievances were offered. And I say, as the station manager at KPFK, I look forward to a coherent process to revisit these issues. And again, I apologize on behalf of the network for these grievances as I've heard them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Okay, Grace was next. Grace Lee, and then Sally Marr, and then Don White.
Thank you. My name is Grace Lee. I'm part of the Pasadena chapter of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network. And recently I attended, as part of our outreach efforts of FPNN, a student activist forum. It was last Saturday, and it was in Montclair, which is about 45 minutes east of here. There were about 100 student activists, some of whom drove down from Santa Barbara, and about half of them had heard of Democracy Now! But listened to it on the web, and about a quarter of them had listened to KPFK but had since turned off from the station and the programs that have been featured in the last couple of years. When I reminded them of some of Pacifica's original missions, their eyes went wide. They were interested in returning back to the KPFK culture and back to Pacifica. I wanted to just remind you how important it is to reach out to the diverse communities, and as part of FPNN, we are trying to do that. All 15 chapters of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network have been organizing to reach out to the diverse communities, especially, in my case, student communities. Thank you. We created a network to cover and to... I'm sorry. I encourage all the network organizations to consider doing the same. We would encourage people to start a chapter. This is a bottom-up organization, to start a chapter in their own communities. And if you're interested, you can go to the web. It's www.fpnn.org. Or you can also call us at 323-957-4780. And also, if you're interested in sharing ideas about creating neighborhood networks and getting involved with more of Pacifica's missions, I believe there's a meeting at noontime today for activists. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Sally Marr.
Websites and telephone numbers are going to go by here, and why they are, we should tell our listeners who may be relatively unfamiliar with what's been going on, that they can log on to www.savepacifica.net, www.savepacifica.net, for some history and background.
I want to thank Stephen for the miraculous transition here, and for all the people that have worked on this. He's been astonishing. For the next station manager, I'd like to recommend three very important qualities. One is a great amount of media knowledge. Two, people skills, who bring people together, who are patient and a very compassionate person. And the third one, they be very articulate, because they need to convey ideas not only to the listeners but to their staff. In our own board and our own ranks, there has been a lot of dissent, and we've got to get rid of this, because we're not going to achieve any of our objectives. We must join hands, forgive past transgressions, and we have to move forward. We have a crisis at Pacifica and on our planet, and we have to take lead here to change the world, because it's moving in a dreadful direction. And there are many people hovering, trying to take over our station and our world. We need to stop the war talk on Pacifica. We need to stop the war talk among our own selves. Shay said, There can be no revolution without love. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Sally Marr.
I'm actually wearing two hats here. I'm a member of the lab of KPFK here in Los Angeles and also a member of a chapter of the Free Pacifica. Oh, excuse me. My name is Don White. Thank you, Stephen. I want to pay tribute to the leadership of our lab, our chair, who just reminded me to give my name. I did. First of all, I want to just say to all the Signal areas, it was very emotional for us here to have the solidarity that was expressed in the five-station marathon fundraiser. We send warm solidarity greetings around the network. It was very, very emotional to hear the support, and we thank you very deeply. Even though the process the lab used, maybe to a point, our current interim general manager was faulty, it was not open. Many of us believe it was one of the best choices we ever made. And we want to pay real tribute to Stephen Starr for the incredible work that he has done here. When we went into the station, we did find an open station. The door was literally open. People were everywhere smiling and hugging and so on. And it was really a take back, both physically and psychologically, of KPFK here in Los Angeles. I do want to say that we found many of the people inside the station very open and hospitable and cooperative. We found a lot of off-air staff, both paid and unpaid, open to us. So I would really point out, I would argue against a mentality that the people inside the station are all enemies of our vision. There are a lot of people in there that are moving over to our side. In the position of a member of the... Okay, I can do this in 45 minutes, no problem. In the interest of the chapter I represent, we support the Hollywood Echo Park Silver Lake chapter, supports as soon as possible the move of the national offices of Pacifica back to Berkeley. Okay, one more minute. No Signal area has demonstrated more dramatically their capacity to defend our network than KPFA in Berkeley, and so we believe that our national offices should go back there. Now, the last thing I'll say around the issues that the lab is addressing, an open democratic process for lab elections, I don't have time to address that, but around the issue of searching for a new general manager, in consultation with the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, in consultation with the community, a formulation of a search and recommending committee has been formed. It's 15 members, 3 from the lab, 3 from the staff, 3 from the network, 1 from the fired and banned, and 5 from underrepresented communities who cannot be a member of any of the other constituencies. When we discuss the search, we're hoping the board respects a process here in Los Angeles and in other Signal areas to be more inclusive than the proposal that we've seen coming from the board. I have other things to say, but I'm going to just close on a light note. I was called 2 days ago by Arbitron asking me if I wanted to be an Arbitron person doing ratings, and I immediately accepted. So you're going to have 24 hours of KPFK submitted to Arbitron very, very soon.
Thank you.
Well, that'll invalidate the result.
Let me just encourage
the... As Don White, member of the local advisory board.
Focus on your point. I don't want to tell anybody what to say, but can we... And I don't mean to undermine people's wanting to thank Stephen, but can we have no more of that? Right? Can we just save a little time? Okay, thank you. So Raphael was next, and then Leona Henke and Farah Davari.
My name is Rafael Renteria. I'm a former program director and news director at KPFT in Houston. And certainly while I'm not part of the fired, I was without question part of the band.
And you are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, a live broadcast of the interim Pacifica National Board in L.A.
Being reserved for a select group. I'm very concerned about that. In fact, what I'm here to discuss is the question of the Pacifica Mission, and what I have in my hand is the official position of the South Central Coalition of Los Angeles. out of South Central Watts, Compton, and so on. And I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I do want to give you a broad sense of it. The Pacifica mission has always been interpreted in the context of the forces that shaped the world and in the context of the struggle against oppression in each period. We are in a new period that calls for a new vision of the mission's application, and that vision needs to be guided by our understanding of the global situation we face, just as it has always been in Pacifica's various programming incarnations. What defines the era we're entering? What broad outlines can we look at to define the epoch, so to speak, in the ways that previous decades have been engaged? There are three deeply interconnected characteristics that tell us where we are, and they can give us a sense of how the mission should be interpreted in terms of a vision for programming and programming policies for Pacifica at this juncture. These defining characteristics are: the process of globalization and its international, financial, and cultural impact on the Third World and in the bastions of international capital. Number two, domestically, the most dramatic and revealing social trends have to do with resurgent racism and sexism, the mass incarceration of people of color, the doubling of the prison population in the last decade, the gutting of affirmative action, the English-only and anti-immigrant movements, rampant police brutality, the three-strikes law in California, the death penalty, the anti-feminist backlashes embodied in the beauty myth and the new sadomasochism, the evaporation of jobs, the growing polarization of wealth, all are of a piece and all are related to globalization and the new American global supremacy, culturally, politically, militarily, and economically. Number three, the war on terrorism and the war on drugs synthesize in a very concrete way elements of both the processes of globalization and resurgent racism, and throw into the mix the broad outlines of an ever-intensifying and rapidly escalating national security state. The war on terrorism overlaps dramatically with resurgent racism. It concentrates U.S. global power and hegemony and serves as an ideological linchpin for an emergent police state. The war on drugs overlaps directly with the war on terrorism. Groups around the globe who oppose U.S. hegemony are labeled as terroristic drug runners. The war on drugs also concentrates resurgent racism. Within the borders of the U.S., the war on drugs and laws like the Three Strikes Laws are carried out as a war on African Americans and Latinos, as a pretext for our mass incarceration in a global economy in which we have become expendable. Globalization, resurgent racism, and sexism, and the wars on terrorism and drugs set the terms of the political framework that permeates every aspect of social life today. I doubt that there are many among us who would differ with that. In that case, Pacifica's mission should be interpreted in terms of programming policies in the following ways. Number one, public affairs programming and news should consistently address the issues pertaining to globalization and expose the imperial designs behind it, while cultural and musical programming should have as an underlying premise the goal of creating a global, multicultural sensibility. The cultures of the world should be represented by those who are part of them. That, by the way, is how we can fulfill the mission through cultural programming while not dictating political music. Just a moment. The communities most under attack internally in the U.S. should have broad representation, primary representation in the programming schedule of each station. The issues that pertain to these communities, mass incarceration, rape, police brutality, and so forth, should be central in the programming of news and public affairs. There can be no cross-cultural understanding, as the Pacifica mission calls for, if these voices are underrepresented at Pacifica at any level. Thirdly, Pacifica should take upon itself the task of exposing and opposing the war on terrorism and drugs, the national security state, and the military moves and racist scapegoating and demonization of other countries that accompany all this. That's what it means in today's context to oppose war and to understand the causes of war. Only when a cultural, moral, and political framework has been laid out for a programming vision can Pacifica even dream of using metrics or any other system to track the fulfillment of the mission. Determining the philosophical, cultural, and political basis for our interpretation of the mission also serves as a guidepost for how to create bylaws and how and why to structure elections for station governing boards in certain ways. Thank you.
Thank you,
Raphael. Okay. Here's Raphael Renteria. The mission commission to which he referred was announced here last night, and It consists of a yet-to-be-formed board that will be convened by Robbie Osman, longtime KPFA programmer, to look at the Pacifica mission statement as originally drafted and suggest possible changes to that statement.
My name is Joan Henke from the Southern California Fair Trade Network, and since I'm not allowed to thank Stephen Starr, I'd like to bring up that we do have an very activist audience here, and I don't know, maybe I should call for a sit-in until Stephen agrees to stay a little longer. No, he says no. But that puts a lot more pressure on the board. It is so crucial for us to not lose any of the gains, the fantastic gains that have been made. So either a fantastic long-term manager needs to be found very soon, or the next transitional figure has to be as good as Stephen, and that will be difficult to accomplish. But what I want to say is that what I've learned from the movement for global justice, and or sometimes called the anti-globalization movement, is to celebrate diversity and to celebrate radical democracy. And we do not need to all be the same. We don't have to have the same style of programming. We don't have to have exactly the same theory of social change. And I've also learned that dissent is healthy. And so just like we were all repressed during the last period of management at KPFK, I definitely don't want to see that happening now. And I think it's healthy that there are even people still on the staff at KPFK who disagree with us. And I think in the movement, we have to preserve the right of critique and the right to dissent. I look forward in the 21st century to radical, challenging, engaged, independent journalism that speaks truth to power and that does not expect to get rewards and awards from power for doing that. Okay. And finally, I'd like just to make some very specific suggestions that nationally, in terms of national programming, I'd like to call for us to get Larry Bensky back. I'd like to call for a new program besides Radio Nation to have Radio Z Magazine. They're willing to do it. In terms of the local, I'd like to call for training. We need training so that we can train a whole generation of youthful activists.
Okay,
and
thank you.
To acknowledge multi-ethnic organizing in this city and get it on the air.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to have to be a little brutal here, folks. Okay,
the Larry Bensky she refers to hosts a program called Sunday Salon, and it will be on the air on these stations tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. West Coast time. We'll be taking nationwide phone-ins about this specific board meeting. That's noon to 2 if you're listening on the East Coast.
However, station is very white. It's very hard for many other signal areas to understand what we have to go through here. I think it was... actually, this station was the type of the station that the five-year plan wanted to achieve at all the signals area. They really cleaned it up. And you heard that from the band and the fire. We really tried to make that happen, and I'm glad that happened. So what's not being paid attention is who is making the decisions. The decisions are made still. There's no involvement of communities of color in the decision-making process of this station. And that's what another one of the band and the fires, what we have on air at the moment, I'm sorry to say, is tokenism, and that needs to change. So that's it.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let me just clarify who's next. You have Peter Dudar, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing these names all right, Curtis Hannum, Juan Jose Tienes, and then we'll see where we are. Let me just make one thing perfectly clear, folks. The National Board does not make local programming decisions, right? The programming decisions are made by the stations locally. I just wanted to make that clear. Okay, so Peter was next.
Hi.
Again, if you could be as brief as possible.
Hi.
Peter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Peter. Who's
there
Peter?
There are two Peters. I'll be
Peter
repeating.
Dudar.
Oh, okay. Hi. I'm from the Coalition for World Peace. My name is Peter Dudar. And I'd like to welcome all of you to Yangna. It means the earth is salty from the Tongva language. Our station sits on Kawangna. These words are foreign to us. Why? Because we don't have a Native American show on our airwaves for 6 years still. Okay? It must come. The First People have to be recognized again. This is a celebration today. We're so honored to have all these people coming. We have to stick together for what's to come with fatherland insecurity. I mean, homeland security. Stephen Starr deserves a star on Hollywood Boulevard, by the way. Webster's dictionary Pacifica means rejecting the use of force as an instrument of policy. All our radio and TV channels condone killing, either by outright support or implication. How, then, do we have on Pacifica News airing generals' voices and people from the DOD without counter from peace experts? The struggle for Pacifica proved at times an adage. The firing squad on the left is a circle. All the guns pointing in. We must hold hands. I'd like to thank our five sister stations for coming and holding hands for our transmitter. And we will continue to hold hands in our struggle to come. Ralph Nader successfully sued a major corporation for spying on him. Perhaps we should ask him how we can handle the spying that occurred here on this board. So, thank you, and we look forward to 112,000 watts on the Hill.
Okay, thank you.
The reference to the spying is that it was revealed last night that there is a company in Washington that was hired by the previous Pacifica board to gather intelligence on those of us who were dissidents at that point inside Pacifica. We'll talk more about that later.
At PM hours, KPFK, if you're going to have this great strong signal, have some political programming from like 10 to 11 so that in all those red states that voted for Bush, people actually hear the political message you guys want to get across. I know the music's important, but get that political message across. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you. And Juan Jose Gutierrez.
Thank you very much. My name is Juan Jose Gutierrez. I'm here representing the Service Employees International Union and the Coalition for Immigration Reform. And I'll be very brief also. We have a very important political process taking place in our nation today, and that is the struggle for immigrant rights. And I would like to call on the board, the National Board of National Public of the Pacific Foundation, to please give serious consideration to the idea of sponsoring a national pro-immigration reform program on all the radio stations all at the same time. You do have the power to make that policy decision. We were on our way to winning effective and profound immigration reform before September 11th. We have not stopped our work, and we called upon you to be supportive of that effort because the future for many millions of undocumented workers and their families is at stake. We are not calling for immigration reform only for immigrants. This is a multinational problem that needs to be addressed in a multinational fashion, and we think that you have a very important role to play, and I thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to take just two or three more people, and sorry we won't be able to take everybody. Dr. Vicki Huffnagel is next. And then Lorraine Mirza, please, please. And then Lorraine Mirza and Shaquille Saeed.
I'm here representing the voice of Healthy Black African Families Group, Black Women for Wellness, the International Reproductive Rights Organization, the Institute for Tubal Ligation, and the HI Black Women's Blah Blah Coalition. My voice was silenced in Los Angeles. If it was not for Amy Goodman, I would have been committed suicide probably years ago. Amy Goodman allowed me to bring the stories of the Sabin vaccine killing. Amy Goodman allowed me to talk about hysterectomy abuse, the selective abuse of black women in sterilization and other areas. It was Amy Bernard and Kathy David. I was silenced here in L.A. On November 20th, I had written a book to expose the California Medical Association with the California Medical Board, and I was raided. Nobody knows about this story. They trashed my home and took everything I owned. All my research for over 20 years, gone. I have a, from the coalition groups I represent, we'd like a real radio show on medical issues that doesn't whitewash things. I have commitment from the community, and we will raise money for WBAI, for Pacifica, for KPFK, and we will meet that challenge, and everyone knows I cannot be bought.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Lorraine, there's...
I started my show, by the way, I need to take an extra, maybe 15 seconds, to pay tribute to Michael Taylor. Because we cannot forget Michael Taylor, please. He died, and I hope that Mark Schaub can look at himself in the mirror. His purging and banning caused Michael Taylor's death. I don't care at whose hands it happened. But it happened had he not been out there struggling to create good community radio in a pirate station, he would be with us right now. So I please ask you, give him this 30 seconds before I say I have my say. My name is Lorraine Mirza. I was the programmer of Islamic Perspectives. I was also probably spent more time in the newsroom than any reporter at the station during the 5 years I was at KPFK. I was just arbitrarily, my show was canceled, not with notice. Now, this is the bastion of Pacifica Radio, where we are supposed to have humane treatment of people. I ended up spending a year in a hospital because of the way I was purged and I was canceled. And I don't know if banned, because I was too sick to ever come back. I have not set foot in the station since that night. My program was canceled on a night where it was supposed to air, but they didn't tell me it was canceled. I had a guest from a nationwide publication at the program, a live guest, and had to face the humiliation of my live guest and myself. And never went on the air, and my program was replaced that night when it finally might have been aired a little bit later. I didn't mind preempting for the State of the Union with a recorded Sounders. And as I drove home, I said, something's wrong. And finally in the morning, I got a call. Your program is off the air for good. I was also my belongings in a shelf that I had for 5 years in the newsroom, those belongings were thrown upstairs. I hope I can have another 30 seconds at least. Those belongings I was forced to carry down and ruptured a vertebrae doing that. 12 boxes of 5 years worth of tapes and scripts and other things. This was after 5 years of being the most active community street reporter in the newsroom. I was the only reporter at KPFK that was out in the streets during the Los Angeles civil unrest. I was out there all 3 days, all 3 nights. I was not allowed, and this was Pacifica, so Pacifica does have some say in what happened here, too. They chose white bread reporters to do the community coverage, the trial coverage. And yet when I finally did step in and teamed with a wonderful other reporter, Lisa Martinez, we had accolades about our coverage. I received awards about the street coverage of the riots, which, by the way, the news department was playing AP. I have a lot to say. It's been 8 years since I was kicked out, and 2 minutes, it just seems so inadequate. I don't want to take any more time, but I am asking Steve, I want to come back. I want to have Islamic Perspectives. There are 1 billion Muslims in this world without a voice on any media. And I'm not talking about tokens who are chosen by other people to represent us. I represent not every Muslim in the world, but my program did. Every Muslim I could pull on it. every diverse group, local, national, international. And I want to have that back. And I want the... I see a nod. Okay, I know I can come back now.
Thank you, Lorraine. Thank you. I'm sorry, but we have time for one more person. And again, I'm going to ask you to be as brief as possible, as Shakil Saeed.
Thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto all of you. I represent the Muslims in Southern California, which is the largest community in North America. Islamic Perspectives, that was produced by Lorraine Mirza, was a program that was very well received by the Muslims in Southern California and elsewhere. I thank all of you for the opportunity for us to come and voice our concern, if that's possible, in the immediate future. If not, then sometime in 2002, this program may please be reinstated at KPFK. In an Islamic tradition, it's always said, after every difficulty, there is a relief. Thanks God that Pacifica is back in the hands of public. Thanks again, Steve, look forward working with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
That was the 18th speaker in the public comments period here, all of them from Los Angeles, many of them fired and banned programmers. We will now hear from the four other station managers, all of them interim managers, as there are no permanent managerial or administrative staff now in Pacifica. You're listening to a live broadcast of the interim Pacifica National Board meeting from Los Angeles. We'll be doing this for approximately another 7 hours on this station. The programming that you usually hear on Saturday will not be heard today. In about an hour and a half, there's supposed to be a long lunch break, at which point I'll be joined by Bernard White, and we will take phone calls from people around the country, we hope. We haven't tested that yet. Board Chair Leslie Kagan is reminding you out there, and so I'll remind you that we're meeting at the Virgil Middle School Auditorium at Vermont and First, and we'll be here till 6 tonight if you're in the Los Angeles area. We'll also be here from 9 to 1 tomorrow. And now we will continue with the station manager reports. The order of the reports will be KPFA in Berkeley, KPFT in Houston, WPFW in Washington, and WBAI in New York.
We're going to move to KPFA, our Berkeley station, and start with a report from the general manager there, the interim general manager, Jim Bennett, and then from the lab chair, Susan De Silva, and then take some time for comments from any of the people from the Bay Area. So, Jim, where are you? Yes. Okay, great.
Hi. Thank you, and thank all of the great support that is out there for KPFK and all of you who have spoken so far this morning. And your questions and concerns are very important to the future of not only KPFK, but to Pacifica. And it's basically been all of your help and efforts all over the country in the last few years that allows us to be at this table today. And with your help, we're going to be able to survive and rebuild this network. I also want to thank the KPFA Local Advisory Board, Susan, and everybody else associated with it currently, and also past members for the incredible work that the lab has done on behalf of KPFA in the last few years, and actually before that as well, but especially the way that the lab has actually helped KPFA survive in such an impressive way. We couldn't have done it without the great working relationship that we have been developing and we need to continue to develop. So I wanted to get that out, and I'm wanting to thank a lot of people today. I want to thank the other general managers who are up here for their efforts to try to rebuild their stations. I want to welcome Valerie back, Valerie Van Isler. Of course, Stephen Starr, we've thanked him and we'll continue to thank him for the work that he'll do in the next month and probably in his association with KPFK as it will continue. Tony Regusters, who is next to him from Washington, D.C. Dwayne Bradley from KPFT in Houston. I'm not going to thank myself. because it's a thankless task. But I did want to just start off by telling you that KPFA would welcome back the national office to Berkeley. We not only welcome it, I think that there is enough knowledge that the community that goes beyond Berkeley, Northern California, perhaps California in its entirety, knows that this organization is incorporated in the state. It knows that this is the birth of the Pacifica Foundation. And more importantly, it's not so much that Berkeley is the center of the universe. It's not. Sure. Pacifica's universe is the five stations and all the affiliates. And also, I do want to mention KFCF in Fresno, because even though they are not one of the five licenses, they are very important to the fact that Pacifica's mission is heard in Central California. And without them, or with them, in fact, with KPFA in the north and KPFK in the south, we pretty much cover the entire state of California. And they were very central and key in this struggle in the last few years. They were the ones that enabled Democracy Now! To continue getting out to all the affiliates across the country. They were there for KPFA. So I'm not sure if Vic Bedoyan, who's the station manager of KFCF, is here, but if he is, if he could stand up. So we need not forget them. In fact, I think that we need to really strongly consider how to bring them into the Pacifica family more than we have. I really think it's important for us to consider their input and help us in this effort to continue and rebuild. Let me talk briefly about fundraising at KPFA. We just finished our most financially successful fund drive ever in the history of KPFA. We raised close to $833,000. That excludes most of the internet pledges, because we enter that on a different item which deals with internet or web income. But that's on the heels of doing a fund drive closer in time to the previous one than ever in our history. Well, it makes it an even more incredible feat. As most of you know, KPFA did not do a fund drive from May until December of last year. And we know the reasons for that. But in December, we had our best fund drive ever until this one. We raised over $711,000 in 10 days in December. So to that, and the incredible outpouring that has happened, is inspirational for the great deal of work that KPFA still has to do to rebuild itself and to get refocused on programming and to further the mission of KPFA and Pacifica. The support is there, and we also have seen a lot of people who haven't subscribed over the last couple of years. When they call up on the phone, they tell us, "We're coming back. We think that we can do that now. We want to be there on the ground floor of the rebuilding of this network." And that, too, is what causes us to continue. That's really vital, that we can try to put that behind us, but we know that there's a lot of weight and responsibility attached to making sure that the disenfranchised, in fact, feel as if they are a part of this organization. I also want to tell you that April 15th is the 53rd birthday of Pacifica and KPFA. And I have talked to some of you about this, but I'm proposing that around that day, we again do a National Day of Programming. Yeah. And we've learned a great deal by this first day of national programming that we did just a short time ago. Incredible experience. We need to do a better job of making sure all the diverse voices of Pacifica are represented on those days. And also, there's certainly room for improvement. We did an incredible thing for KPFK and for the whole network. It's hard to believe that an organization that calls itself a network has never done something like this before. But finally, it's happened. On the 15th, around that period of time, KPFA is planning an event that may happen around the 14th. We're still working on details, but we would like to be able to broadcast that nationally and offer it to the other stations. If they can't do it live, we'd offer it to them so that they can play it back when they have an opportunity in their schedule. But that's in the infancy stages. We'll see if it transpires, but we're trying to do it as a major fundraising event for not KPFA but per se, but Pacifica in general, to help with some of the debt problem that's going on. And obviously that's not going to get rid of it, but it's a start.
WBAI in New York.
Also for Friends of Free Speech Radio, which still has a lot of things still that they need to pay for, and some things that they need to do, like being able to support the move of the national office back to Berkeley.
Yes.
And you don't have to clap every time I pause and take a breath, but I like it. It's good. one of the things that is really great, or has a really good feeling to it, particularly since it didn't happen so for so long, is the fact that at this particular time, there's a little bit, and I realize this is subjective because of the huge national debt that's out there, but there's more financial clarity to KPFA's operational budget than there has been in quite some time since we have control of our checkbook again. But what that actually does is it allows us to have a role to play, and that we want to play, to be able to help the rest of the network out. If we're aware of the money that comes into KPFA and being able to pay for the expenses that we have, then we can begin, with the great money and support from our listeners and activists, help to do whatever we can to basically fill in the gaps for the other stations or for the network. And we're committed to doing that. The KU system just moved back to Berkeley actually yesterday afternoon. And that's the satellite system, which was originally started in Berkeley and is also basically there because of KFCF. They have the original technology. But we're going to be operating that free for the network. There's no cost whatsoever to the network. KPFA is actually providing the cost of today's broadcast that's being heard throughout the country, and we feel that we're in a position to do that, and we want to help as much as we can. Also, Friends of... Am I getting short on time?
Jenny,
look, there's like pages and pages. Oh, great, okay. Also, we are trying to help out Free Speech Radio News with the fund drives that we're having right now, because we realize that as a national news initiative, basically because of the funding situation throughout the network, that just isn't possible right now. So we need the various different stations and some of the affiliates around the country need to be able to help sustain something like Free Speech Radio News, because there's nothing else. And it's a great program. I do have lots of stuff about technical and programming and staffing, but let me go briefly to something that I think the board should seriously take a look at, and that's the levy that is still out there in terms of the amount of money that, or percentage of money that's supposedly taken from each Pacifica station for national programming and administrative staff. I think there should be a discussion about whether that should be lowered at this particular time to pay for just the cost of running the current national office staff. That's, and also with the fact that money is being loaned around the network and a lot of money has been siphoned off from a lot of the stations, it is really something that you need to have clarity on in terms of running the organization financially right now, and being aware of what has happened with the funding basically being stripped away from all the various different individual stations. It's vital to just get that going for all of us. And I think that in this case, you know, that levy should be whatever percentage it should be to run that national office, whether it's 3% or 4% instead of 17%.
because the debt retirement is something that we're all going to be dealing with on a national and local level, and I really think that's the way to go. So I do want to urge you to do that. The other thing at this particular point, KPFA is down several positions in management and has been for quite some time. And with talking with Dan Coughlin, he has encouraged us to remain at the level that we're at now if possible because of the funding problem throughout the network, and that's understandable. We do, however, think that we really need to return many of the administrative duties of program director to a program coordinator position and increase the hours of that, which has been a temporary job for a couple of years, to be able to really move forward on a lot of the programming issues that KPFA needs to deal with. And really briefly, I do want to also encourage the other stations to take a look at KPFA's longstanding pioneering training and apprenticeship program, the only one of its kind in the country. When you talk about access and when you talk about training people and having the diversity of voices that this network needs to have, that's where you start. You bring in people, you train them, you give them the skills to be on the radio, and then you let them be on the radio. And we really, really need to develop that in a very systematic way. I'd be happy to talk about that at some future board meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry that
the interim manager at KPFA in Berkeley, Jim Bennett, he's also our operations manager, and he's the engineer today who set all of this up, so we're grateful to him for that as well.